Good evening, everybody, with the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from Norwalk, Connecticut. Another fine evening here, nice fine Wednesday. Neil just took down a double baconator.
Triple baconator.
I apologize for shortchanging there, a triple baconator, so he might not make it for the second half of the show.
No, I'm going to be sweating cured pork for like a week.
So, we got Tony D back behind the glass.
Yeah.
Got a full schedule of things to talk about. I'm really excited. We got a lot of stuff. Let's just start with the NFL.
Let's do it.
I mean, now, as a Met fan, it almost was perfect. The transition between you have a little bit of excitement just when you want to start talking football, the Mets just like, okay, Mets, like, we'll get out of your way. We don't want to step on any toes.
Training camp started? Okay, we'll start losing.
We'll completely go to hell. So let's start talking about some NFL. We'll start with your Giants. Now, for a Super Bowl champion.
The Quiet Giants.
The Quiet Giants. And I know they love that. You know, we're just so cool. We're so mild-mannered. Man, we just like to get in there with our lunch pails and do work, man. And they want to stay. But although they still, at any moment, would love taking a shot at the Jets.
I like to think if they were on a reality show, they would be like the evil queen, diva, that like somehow schemes her way into winning the bachelor's heart by pretending to be like this good two-shoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, every
and
dad
is backstabbing like crazy.
Every dad wants their daughter to date a giant.
Exactly.
They're so great. I mean, Eli's throwing out one-liners. Oh, yeah, David Carr told him to run with his shirt off. And they did this stupid laugh. And then it's so funny because it's so out of character for Eli.
It is.
Whoa, he was on SNL.
Yeah.
Maybe he is really cool.
Yeah, that's like the new trend now. It's like Eli's a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, he's a riot. I give him that. He's a tough guy and he's a riot. But, you know, since our last show, what people have been debating, and I don't even know that we really need to go into the debate too much, because I think it's a silly debate, but the whole debate of, is Eli Manning a surefire Hall of Famer right now? If his career were to end right now, he had some sort of injury or whatever, and is Tom Coughlin a Hall of Famer? To me, I think the Tom Coughlin thing isn't even debatable. I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
People kept pointing to the fact that Parcells didn't get in his first year. It's hard to get into the NFL Hall of Fame. They only let five guys in every year. There's nobody in the world that thinks that Bill Parcells isn't going to be in the Hall of Fame. So that should mean nothing of what I think of Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what he did in Jacksonville. Okay, he didn't win any championships, but he took an expansion team and made him relevant immediately.
Yeah.
Comes over to the Giants every year. He was on the hot seat. He turns things around. I said it last year on the show. I thought it was silly that people were calling for his head if they didn't go to the, you know, they didn't do something really good last year. Because I'm like, who are you going to go out and do better?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a diehard fan, and even halfway through the season, I saw him losing control of the team, and I wasn't calling for his head, but I was severely critical of, you know, the way he was handling the team. And you see, there was a game against maybe the Titans or someone where, you know, they had like two huge 15-yard game misconducts or personal fouls, and it really hurt the team, and it was very un-Coughlin-like to see them lose that type of discipline. But, you know, like you said, even if they were to axe the guy, I mean,
you get Philbin? Who are you going to get? Who exactly are they going to get?
Regis Philbin?
Who are they going to get that's going to be better than Tom Coughlin?
Eli, who are you doing to?
What are we doing?
Where we going?
I got solid ties. So,
but even Bill Cowher was like, no, I'm all right, which that was the most likely candidate. I mean,
right. And he's a guy, like, right, if you could land a Bill Cowher, but I wouldn't want any sort of, you know, former college coach, Shiano's of the world, Pete Carroll's, those guys that just tend to not pan out.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one would be Jimmy Johnson, who just got handed a ridiculously talented roster.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So you agree you think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame? I mean, I think in the NFL, the first ballot thing means nothing because it's so hard to get in. You know, it's not like they just let as many people in as they want.
So if he wins one more Super Bowl just in his career.
But, I mean, how long is he's, what, 65?
Yeah.
So I mean, how many more? I'm saying you could start really.
There's no like senior citizen discount on the Hall of Fame entry or anything like that.
Yeah, nah, man, I think he's a Hall of Famer
like
right
if you,
now.
Like if you shoot your age in the NFL, like you can get in.
I mean, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Now the Eli thing, I think it's just silly because
100% yes. If he died tonight,
you think he'd be a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Well, and I think if you really sat down and looked at it,
I think we've been spoiled. You look at the guys for like Bob Greasy or something like that from the 60s or 70s. They're not. I mean, I know it's a different game now, and there's got to be a way that you can weight it somehow. But I mean, you know, the guy is a knock on wood, because he's obviously going to tear his Achilles now that
I'm
talking
about
it.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm wondering if Giants fans think about that. That's why I think it's a silly conversation. If he had some catastrophic injury and he was out, and or even if his career was in question, I think it's fine to debate it. But why do that? I don't think that there's anything he could do at this point. If he goes out and he throws a 5 consecutive stinker years for whatever reason, like he turns into Don McNabb this year, and just, I don't think that will hurt his legacy. I still think his credentials might get him in, and you could be right. You could say what he's done to this point. I just think it's a silly – why do we have this debate right now? Are you going to have it every year until he retires?
Yeah, it's like someone has inside information on a hit.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like somebody knows something we don't know. The world's coming to the end in 2012. I think they want to just get it done. The Mayans.
Like, come on.
Come on. We need to know before the Mayans.
Final Hall of Famers list. Go.
Ready? Go. So, I mean, we're going to get into our top 10 – has to do with NFL, Hall of Famers, and we'll get into that later on. But, you know, like I said, if that's what Giants fans are talking about right now, that means things are going well.
Well,
I mean, if that's, you know, I think some bigger issues, you know, we talked quickly about Terrell Thomas last week.
The prognosis on him is weird.
Yeah.
Like, well, he could be out a week to 10 years.
He could be a week to a wheelchair, somewhere in between there. I think, you know, and they're not making a huge deal about it, but every time you hear one of the guys on ESPN radio or you know, reporting from camp from WFAN, it doesn't sound like the Giants are all that confident that Hakeem Nicks is going to be ready. They keep saying they're hoping he's going to be full pads by the week 3 of the preseason. So if everything goes to plan, I really was thinking when they threw out that he would probably be back for week 1, and they did it right after the surgery, I thought, well, then he'll be back and ready to go. I thought he would be for, I don't know why. I mean, I'm not a doctor or anything. I just, typically they tend to overestimate the length of recovery, so these guys are supermen and they come back early. He's actually fitting in almost exactly what they said. It's going to be bubble, whether he's ready for week 1. You know, they had that short week. Their week 1 is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Does that worry you at all? They talked about Ramses Barden, who I know you like, but they said he's been having a not very strong camp.
Yeah.
Still hasn't learned. Like, he's still that guy you look at and think he should be so much better.
Yeah.
The one thing I was super excited to hear about, that whoever the Giants guy is for WFAN, said that Danny DePalma might make the practice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be fantastic.
Wow.
Jersey's own Danny DePalma, who I picked up on my fantasy team for the championship last year just so he'd get a ring.
Yeah.
And then I lost. So, sorry, Danny. I got blown out. But I mean, that would be fantastic. Would I have to get a Giants jersey?
I mean,
if he dressed.
If you got a Lynch on the Dan Green, I'll pick one up.
You'd have to.
I'll get a kid size small and just Hulk out.
Just Hulk out, dude. I would have to get a Danny DePalma. I mean, I'd have to draft him. He made the team, like, you know, like he's on something.
Yeah.
Special teams.
Special teams
just
win.
Just see him show up in a – that's, you know – he's still probably the second best DePalma football player in the last 20 years.
Well,
but
yeah.
But that's, you know, he set the ball pretty high over at North High. But so there's not much going on there as far as like what you really are concerned about. Who's the guy they drafted last year? Defensive lineman. He was hurt. He came into camp.
Oh, it's the dude from UNC.
Yeah, the dude from UNC who had kicked off the team or had all those problems there. So, and he was like, you know, everybody loved him, and if he had those problems, he would have been a top 5 or 10 pick.
Yeah.
The Giants wound up getting him late, obviously like in the 20s or whatever it was, or maybe even early second round, I think. And he was hurt last year, and they said he came in the camp super fat.
Yeah.
And they screamed at him, and now he's lost a lot of weight, and he looks like a beast. So I don't know. That's just what will happen for the Giants. Of course. If it's a D lineman and he's putting on the blue, he's going to be great.
Yeah.
He's going to be much better than any Jets lineman, I'm sure of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't be happy with the news, not the transition to the Jets already, but you can't be happy about the news about Coples, the early word about him.
Well, he doesn't work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they said that on draft day. I said it right away. I'm like, when you're the New York Jets.
But yeah, but it's hard to decipher what's typical Jets fan overreaction to.
No, this is, I'm watching the draft, and stupid Mel Kiper, and everyone up there saying, well, the one knock on this guy is, you watch film, he just takes plays off. He's taking plays off. UNC.
He's going for longevity, Mike.
That's what it was.
He's trying to pace himself. Giants do, that's how they win Super Bowls. They decide, hey, we're going to take off the middle stretch of the season,
right,
and then we'll finish off.
When you're playing for UNC and you're not dominating your competition, they're saying there's times on film he just disappears, and you forget that you're even watching him. So, but then again, there's other people that say, well, he looks like Julius Peppers because he's a D lineman and he's tall and he played for UNC.
Yeah.
It's so silly. So I'm not, he's in the least bit surprised about that.
But why don't we talk about the Jets a little bit? I mean, I think the story, we touched on it last week briefly, but the story about right now all the fights going on. We talked about last week Cromartie's comments that pissed off the Jets wide receiver, saying he's the second best wide receiver on the team. So then you got a fight followed by two more fights 2 days later, and I'm still thinking to myself, I like this.
Yeah, I do too.
I like it for a couple reasons. First of all, anybody that watched Hard Knocks when the Jets were on has to remember the episode when he had one of their backup linemen, Turner, pick a fight on purpose. He told them, we'll have Turner go pick a fight. He goes and picks a fight with Golston just to do it. So it was okay. He goes, fights are good in practice, but now he's making a one-run wind sprints and all that. I think that if it's a fight between a wide receiver and a quarterback, that's a problem. If it's a fight between wide receivers and a D-back, or a linebacker and a running back, or O-lineman and D-lineman, that's fine.
Yeah. You don't want inter-unit squabbling. You want the offense versus defense.
They never have to play together. Tebow probably has to play for all three.
You just have to worry about Cromartie because he's playing both sides.
That's right. Chrome is our number
double
two.
Agent.
Yes, a little sneak attack.
He's like, I heard that Shillings.
I heard his chest.
Wants a submarine your ass.
But, you know, what Peter King said today, he was on ESPN Radio, and he said he thinks that he credits that to Sperano, the new offensive coordinator, who comes in, and he is kind of a, you know, a tough guy type mentality. He's a very in-your-face type
guy. He's from that Parcells.
Yeah, he's from Connecticut is where he's from.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you that right now. He's coach at UNH. But so he came in and he basically, one of his first speeches to the offense is, you know, for the last couple of years since Rex Ryan's been here, we've played second fiddle to the defense. We're not having that anymore. We're not going to be just like, okay, offense, don't go screw up, which I love. Because I think, and that's what I liked about the whole Cromartie fight last week when he was picking fights with the wide receivers saying they all stunk. You know, I like that. Let these offensive players go out there and have a little swagger and fight these guys. Like, I know it has been all about ground and pound offense, and then you have the defense. And now it really is. These guys are going to show them. You know, and if week one, if the defense...
The offense has never had that attitude. Even when they were going to the championship games, they would ground out yardage with
Thomas Jones.
But it didn't seem like they had that attitude.
Right.
That we can go in and we can move the ball and we can win with our offense. It was like they were just kind of playing it to the point where we just want to make sure we give the D a breather.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. And I think that now...
Some of that, do you think some of that falls on Sanchez's shoulders? I don't know, because you look at a guy like Eli, and he's not a rah-rah kind of guy. He's just the offense actually feeds off his calm.
Exactly.
That's what they said, at least, that they feed off his calm, and they just know that it's like, oh, yeah, that's just quiet confidence.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, this is a make-or-break year for Sanchez, I guess.
Right, and I think we need to get into that quickly. The whole Tebow thing, and that this was adding so much more pressure on Sanchez. Regardless of whether they brought in Tebow or not, this season is going to make or break his career, I think. He either needs to take a huge step forward, or he's going to be, really, I think, this is your shot. This is year four. A lot of times they say it's year three that's the big year. They've given you 3 years, three full years. You've gotten all a bunch of stuff. You've only missed a couple games. So the Tebow factor to me, I don't, his career is on the line this year anyway.
Well, I'll implant an ultimate nightmare scenario for you. Not that you've already been waking up in sweats, but Sanchez struggles down the stretch. They bring in Tebow. I think that, you know, that's Sanchez's ticket out of here. They're going to try and trade him. But I don't even think they're going to stick with Tebow the next season.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That he's just basically there to set a fire under Sanchez. And then if he doesn't, you know, I don't see him, you know, even... And I guess if they make the playoffs with Tebow, that they'll keep him around. But I don't even see them sticking around.
When the trade first went down, I said, you remember at the time they had Drew, what's the guy's name?
Stanton.
So they had signed him too, and they wound up letting him go, or, you know, trading him for whatever they traded him for, like the next day. But I said that you can't really have Tim Tebow as a backup quarterback when you're gonna also have him in all these other packages. Because then if something happens to Mark Sanchez, your whole offense changes.
because now all your players, so you've implemented this new offense, and it, you know, 80% of it is.
I mean,
do you bring McElroy? I would put McElroy in.
Yeah.
At least maybe the split would be different.
Yeah.
But I still think when you have a whole offense, you go through training camp, you're going through the first however many weeks of the season, and with a certain offense, and it's, you know, you got 15 plays like this and 60 plays like this, and maybe that the split might change a little bit in, if you had McElroy in there. But I think that you have all the good that Tim Tebow possibly brings, the element of, you know, his versatility and surprise and what are we going to do? We're going to hit you with all these different ways. Trickery, which Rex Ryan loves. That all goes away when he's your everyday quarterback. And now you just have a regular backup, McElroy. And if something happens to Tim Tebow, then you lose all of it. And now you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You still need to have, and I'm not a big guy like you need an identity, but you do need a set of plays. You need a playbook that you're going to, you know, you're going to be confident in. And you're going to have two completely different playbooks for these two quarterbacks. So if one of them went down, and I'm more talking about injury. If something were, this offense is completely sputtering under Mark Sanchez and they want to change things up, well, then fine. You want to change it up and go with this all Wildcat Tim Tebow thing, that's fine because the Mark Sanchez experiment for 3.5 years didn't work out. But if something, say, 3 games in, Mark Sanchez gets hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could just say, okay, now we have Tim Tebow and everything we've done.
Yeah.
What if the Jets are 3-0? And Mark Sanchez gets hurt and he's out 5 weeks. You're going to change the whole offensive scheme for 5 weeks and then bring Sanchez back, even though they're having success? Don't you think it would be better to let McElroy have a chance or have brought in somebody else that's a more traditional quarterback? That was my big thing about it. And the other thing is, and I forwarded this email to both you guys, the idea that day one, and O laughed in my face when I said, this can't possibly be just about selling tickets because it will not sell tickets. And O says, oh my, you're crazy. I bet you the day this thing went down, they got flooded, PSLs being sold.
I mean, I kind of agree with O. I mean, the guy has one of the highest selling jerseys in the league, if not number one.
They haven't sold any more tickets. They still got PSLs available. Our ticket price in the upper bowl.
Yeah, but Jesus,
half.
Hey, Jesus freaks aren't made of money, Mike. I mean, let's get serious.
Well, and that was part of the things I said. People love it, and they'll go out and spend $50 on a jersey. They're not going to spend $4,000 on a PSL.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. So if you want to go out and sell a few extra jerseys, that doesn't give you an influx of cash. They only make money on the jerseys sold at Giant Stadiums. You know that? They don't make jerseys that are sold at Modell's and all that. That was the thing with Linsanity when they were talking about that. And who goes to a stadium and spends $150 on the one at the stadium when you can go to Dick's Sports and get one? Or go online, NFL shop.
There's a guy in the parking lot selling them out of his trunk.
And you get
like
a free pretzel off of a shopping cart if you want it.
Those are so good.
So I get an email. First of all, our ticket prices dropped from $95 to $50 in some of the upper bowl seats. So now that shows you how bad they're hurting for tickets. Then I got another email saying they're going to give you a referral bonus. Like I'm sitting there working at Wachovia Bank, and I know a guy who wants to be the teller. I'll get a $200 deposit into my checking account. I get a bonus. I get it if I and the PSLs are still available.
It's like a multi-level marketing scheme. It's like if you get two fans to buy tickets, you get 5%.
It's like what is the Mary Kay like selling the things? You're
gonna go door to door now.
I can have little.
I gotta ditch these tickets on.
I got living room parties. Listen, guys, and then if you do this. You get to watch Tim Tebow for 14
you get
plays a game.
Free baby tea.
And so it clearly didn't work. So if I knew, and I'm not a business major, I'm, you know, if I knew it wasn't going to sell tickets, there's no way that these geniuses in the front office, and say what you want about Tannenbaum's, you know, his decision making, he still is very good about, you know, negotiating contracts and the business side of things. So he must not have been tricked by that. You know what I mean? So. I don't know. That's my opinion.
I think Tannenbaum's arm's getting twisted. I mean, I think he's the voice of reason, but it's been quelled by, you know, other sources. That's my opinion.
Do you want to take a phone call quick?
Yeah.
We don't want to normally have time to take phone calls, but we're going to take them. The phones are lighting up here. We got, who do we, dude, this is not James Tita on the line. Is this James Tita?
Am I live, boys?
JT, my man, what are you doing, brother?
Dude, oh my God, I got to talk to you guys offline about what I'm doing. But what I was doing right now was looking at my Twitter and checking out the tweet that Tony D sending out from the Great Tri-State Sports Guys Twitter feed. And I was like, you know what? It's been too long. I'm calling. I don't even know what they're talking about. I'm calling. I'm weighing in. I'm saying hello.
We don't know what we're talking. We're talking about Tim Tebow, JT. And now when I said when that trade went down that it couldn't just possibly be about selling more tickets because it won't result in more tickets. And O laughed in my face, and I let it slide because he's a lot bigger than me, and I'm a little scared of him. But then It clearly, they're not selling tickets. There's still PSLs available. They've reduced ticket prices in the upper bowl. So whether or not you agree with the football decision, I still think it was a football decision. It just, I don't agree with it as a football decision, but I don't think they did it to sell tickets because I can't be that stupid to think that just because Tim Tebow comes in, people are going to drop 10 grand on a PSL.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Actually, when I was on hold, or not hold, but I was listening to the show for like a minute there, I heard you talking about the PSLs and your Wachovia rebate, which sounds really grand, but you know, it's the one thing that Tebow can't do right now is sell tickets. He can generate headlines. He can start fights, I guess, or he can do a ton of different things, throw the ball poorly, but he can't sell tickets. And I agree. I think it was a football decision as well.
I think it's the fact that it's the Northeast. I really do. I think if that he went anywhere in the Midwest, even the Southeast, or, you know, somewhere like the Bible Belt, oh, my God.
Yeah, if you went to Jacksonville, they'd be back on television because they're blacked out all the time now.
Yeah.
They'd be like, whoa, these guys, we saw a franchise.
They're totally Yui from L.A., and come back and play some football.
Yeah.
Now, JT, what's your excitement about your Philadelphia Eagles? You fired up the future dynasty, as Vic said? Potential.
I was fired up, and I am fired up about the team. But I feel like we got to talk about, you know, Andy Reid and his family right now. I mean, I feel like that can't be neglected. Carl, my heart goes out to them, and you know all their struggles throughout the years, and you know everything that's gone down with his two sons, and I just hope he's resting in peace right now. And you know, outside of that unfortunate mishap, I'm real excited about the squad, man. We're healthier than we've been in a while. Of course we have to have a little problem at the offensive line spot, but it is what it is. I think we'll get through that. I think as long as we have Shady McCoy, Deshaun Jackson that's motivated, and Michael Vick doing things more like a quarterback than a runner, I like our chances. The defense is going to be there. The defense, I was sold on the defense in the last half of the season last year. They really came to play. And I love the defense. If the offense can stay healthy, I like our shot. 11-5, 12-4.
Now, are they sticking with that defensive front that they had last year with the defensive ends were way,
they call it the wide nine is what they call it, the wide nine stance, or the wide, I think it comes from the stance, the wide nine or something like that. What's up?
I think I dated a wide nine in college.
I'm sure you might have, man, especially where we went.
So, are they sticking with that? Or are they at all, or what are they doing?
They stuck with it. In the beginning of the year, they brought it out just too much. It's kind of like a wildcat of defense, I feel. You know, they brought it out too much, and when you have that on the field for too many plays in a row in that package, it's easy to run on. It's easy to find those gaps up the middle, up the gut, the off-tackle runs. I think they're going to bring it back.
It's dependent on the linebackers, right?
Well, I mean, the linebackers can help, but what makes it so susceptible is the defensive tackle and the defensive end are so far apart that if you can get single block and the lane is wide open, you can run it right off tackle or basically right up the middle without, you know, getting touched for 5-6 yards. Yeah, the linebackers can stop it from being a 35 to 40 yard gain, but I mean, you're getting those five anyway. So in that case, you know, the defensive line and the positioning there is what does, you know, a lot of the damage.
Now, JT, are you a Hard Knocks fan? You get into the Hard Knocks shows on HBO?
Not as into Hard Knocks as I am into 24/7.
The 24/7s are always very good. Now, the Hard Knocks this year is obviously the Dolphins. I caught the last maybe 40 minutes of it, and I honestly think they could take any team and make it interesting.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No, but I've heard good things about how, like, Chad Johnson stole the show.
So Chad Johnson was awesome. My wife got into it, was watching it. She knew him. She goes, that's Ocho.
She's like, I'm a Dolphins fan now.
yeah, totally.
That's awesome. That's hilarious. You know what? That's what you get for being a Devils fan. That's your karma, Mike.
Oh, my Devils. You're so close.
The Brooklyn.
it's going to be good, man. And I said I was surprised. And you only see little bits of guys playing. I thought that the new coach looks extremely soft. When Ocho gave his press conference, where he dropped the F-bomb 7 times in like a 5-minute press conference, he goes to his assistants, well, I'm going to have a talk with him. And then he pulls them aside, and they're doing the subtitles, and he's very calm. You know, if you're going to talk like that, we should talk about that beforehand, really calm. And Chad's just like, oh, whatever, you know, I'm just trying to have fun. You know,
yeah.
He was so soft, and it was like, this is your first impression. My first impression, this guy's going to be possibly a 2-year coach, not going to be a good coach. Right there, I'm first impression, this guy's going to be a soft, Wade Phillips coach. He's done. But I'll tell you what, man, this Tannehill kid, his release is ridiculously quick.
Yeah.
And we didn't watch him in college. I mean, this dude's release is legit quick. It's not, you know, He gets rid of the ball in a hurry, which is, in, I think, in the NFL, you know, is important.
Oh, it's
anything.
Huge. It's vital, yeah.
So I'm telling you, you watch him throw 30 throws on this show, and you could just tell by his mechanics and his release. And they probably didn't show all of his incompletions and all that, but I don't care. You watch him, and you're like, this guy, you know, he looks the part right away.
Yeah.
And he came out first practice, he was ready to go. And the one thing the coach said was, you know, he looked like he didn't miss the first 2 days of camp because, you know, he had held out or whatever. And he came in, knew the playbook, was ready to go.
It leads me to believe that they named Garrard the starter.
Yeah.
It leads me to believe that they're going to try and deal more. Because he was not that shabby last year. He had like an 84, 85 QB rating. And, you know, I think that Tannehill will get much more – will feel a lot more involved as he's the backup right next to the head coach as he's delivering plays or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you need him sitting at number three.
Yeah, I think – I agree. I could see more going. He's proven that he could be a very, very good backup. You know, I'm sure at the Giants, I'd rather have Matt Moore as my backup than David Carr. You know,
I think Matt Moore could be a starter.
I think he can too. But I'm saying –
how about Jacksonville take a shot at him?
Yeah, I would think Jacksonville would love to take a shot at him because, you know, Gabbert.
Chad Henne.
Well, they got Henne now, but he's never had a season where he's had more touchdowns and interceptions, and he's never had a winning season. So, I mean, he's had his chance. Matt Moore has shown that he could play. He beat out Chad Henne last year.
Yeah.
You know, he did it last year. He can go into Jacksonville and do it again. I think that you're probably right. You wait
if that happens, and you're Chad Henne just like,
oh, man, I
just walk directly into the ocean.
Let me get Atlantis.
Let's take a ride back to Michigan. That's where I'll go.
Jesus. Well, JT, I'm really glad to hear from you, buddy. Are you going to maybe make it in studio next week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to make it in next week. I kind of promised, but I might have to rescind that because my baby sister's going away to college the day after on Thursday. So I have to weigh those options. But I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to try to make it anyway. Either way, we're going to chat, and, you know, I'm going to catch you guys up on me. Obviously, listeners don't care about me, so we'll take that offline. But be good, gentlemen, and the show's great as usual.
All right, brother. Be good, pal.
I'll talk to you soon.
But, all right, well, that's the great JT. I love to have him on. I'm glad that he called in. We extended that segment for him, but he deserved it. Because, you know, our next thing, we're going to segue right in to the New York Yankees.
To the New York Yankees.
To the New York baseball Yankees.
It's a great segue. Hard knocks to guys that can't get knocks.
Exactly. Guys that just can't hit. Curtis Granderson's 5 for his last 40.
Hard knocks to getting knocked by the media.
There you go.
I'm reaching right now.
I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to talk for 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, think of another one, and then come at with hard, all right? So Curtis Granderson, they decided to move him to leadoff, which makes sense because he strikes out all the time.
Yeah.
And it's for power. And no longer steals bases anymore. He doesn't steal bases.
He's Willie Mays Hayes in Major League 2.
Yeah, exactly right. So that was a great decision, I thought. Especially when you have two guys, the big debate was going to be who's going to bat leadoff, whether it was going to be Jeter or Ichiro. Two of the better leadoff hitters of this generation. I know Jeter's played more at batting second than he has leadoff.
Yeah.
But as a leadoff hitter, he's done very well. He's got, you know, X amount of leadoff home runs, all these things. So you get those two guys, and you say, no, hold on. We have a power-hitting guy who strikes out a lot and has a low average. I'd rather have him batting leadoff. Because that makes a ton of sense, doesn't it? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't come to see walks.
They don't come to see wins.
Or runs.
I want to see
a small ball.
I want to see a guy in an 0-2 count trying to hit the ball.
Do you think that dude in the $5 bleacher seats is going, come on, hit it the opposite field and move the runner over.
Inside out swing, G. Yeah. No, man, he's not doing that. So, I mean, what is up with the Yankees? I mean, you now, it's only 4.5 game lead. Right,
the Orioles are knocking.
The Orioles are knocking.
That
even
was
going to
be my other one.
There it is.
Yeah,
oh, that's it.
Yeah.
You got it.
You got it.
You did it. We're going to try to delete the other two, and we're going to just stick with that. Tony D behind the glass. Let's clean that up for you. We may need to bring Mike T back just to do the editing. So you had they're 4.5 games up now. They were 10.5 just 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and everyone was like, oh, call me. You know, I'll start to panic when it's 5 games.
Yeah. Well, it's 5
there
games.
It is.
And the Rays are only 6.5, or 6 even, maybe. They didn't even just 6. And so now you're talking about, I mean, people are legitimately panicking, like, whoa, we might miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know, not win a division, which seemed like a foregone conclusion. That being said, I still am pretty confident because I just don't believe in the Orioles. They've been outscored this season by 60 runs. 60 runs, and they're 4.5 games behind the Yankees. That's just an amazing anomaly. And you look at teams like other surprising teams, whether it be the Pittsburgh Pirates, or the Oakland A's, they're doing, you can tell, how are they doing it? Well, they're starting pitching. It's been ridiculously good. And they've gotten good bullpen work, especially in Pittsburgh with Hanrahan and Lincoln, who they traded, but he had been really good for a while, coming out of the pen. But what are, I mean, the O's don't have great starting pitching. They got Chen, who's been a nice surprise, but they got a bunch of other guys. Britton has been bad. You know, they have a slew of guys. None of them seem to really scare you. So how are they doing it? How are they doing it? I know, look, Adam Jones is very good. Marcakis has been unconscious.
Moneyball.
It's moneyballing it up, dude. It's finally a team. And they're a team that, you know, I don't know, they're easy. Maybe because we went to school in Baltimore. I find it easy to root for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome stadium.
They need it.
They have a great fan base. You know, the guys that live down there.
The people that are fans are,
Yeah, that's
into
what I'm saying.
It.
It's like one of those fan bases that people are so into.
Yeah.
It's almost like hockey up here.
You don't have many casual O's fans.
No, you've got the diehards who could tell you every player from Jay Gibbons all the way back to, you know, anyone. Some old guy.
Billy Ripken.
From Philly. Remember his card had the F word on it?
Yeah.
So I'm not overly worried about the Yankees, but kind of what you see, the way I could compare the Yankees right now, it's like, and it's like what the Heat were the last 2 years. It's what the Yankees have been for the last 15 years, where you know they're going to make the playoffs, so you spend the whole regular season trying to nitpick and how is this going to play in the playoffs? Are they built for the playoffs? What if they match up with this? And that's what the Heat had to deal with all year last year and all year this year, and that's what the Yankees do. You know, they're still up 4.5 games. I don't know that there's another division that's got that big of a gap.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I don't have the standings in front of me, but they all seem to be close, and they just got the 4.5. So they have the biggest lead, but the Yankee fans are so accustomed to just playing that they're just already working out the scenarios. Well, what happens if this? What if A-Rod can't come back? Now, all these Yankee fans that hated A-Rod wanted to drop him to sixth or move him up to second because he didn't have the power.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of them. I didn't think they were going to lose a beat, and it turns out that
I didn't think
they maybe could use his bat.
Yeah, and it's not like the guys replacing him have been that bad, but around him, like, everybody has just been brutal, and the big fear that seems to happen to them in the playoffs is that they don't hit good pitching. They had this year, they beat up on, I mean, you say what you want about Dickey, but they beat up on Dickey, whether you want to include him as being one of the good, better pitchers, but they beat up on Weaver earlier in the year. They had beaten Verlander earlier in the year, and then in the last week, Verlander and Felix just made him look awful.
Yeah.
Awful. So that's like the biggest fear about the Yankees, that they're just, to quote my old co-host there, they're just lamplayers. They love to beat up on the bad teams, but good pitching, you know, they don't do well. And then I've seen stats from last year. They were showing them in the playoffs, all of their, you know, the middle of their order against top 10 pitchers in the ERA, their batting averages were one of the worst of all 3, 4, 5 hitters in the league. It's kind of a quirky stat, but it shows you that they pad their stats against the lesser pitchers or bullpens and all that. So I think it is, there's a little bit of cause for concern, especially, I know the Angels have been playing terribly, but I still have a lot of confidence in the Angels. You look at their lineup and their starting rotation, I would say that both of them are better than the Yankees. And then you got the Rangers, who, you know, they got a bunch of solid starters. The rotation's kind of a little bit like the Yankees, and the Yankees have their CC, and then they have a bunch of solid guys. Like, none of them are like, oh, I can't see him ever starting a playoff game. But also none of them are like, oh, who's going to match up with somebody else's number two? You know, who's going to go out and match up with, you know, Greinke or whatever. So I still, you look at that, you look at the American League, you still got to put the Yankees probably number one. I mean, I know power rankings change every week, but I would still put them number one. Not being a Yankee fan and not going through the terrible life that it must be to be a Yankee fan and wonder what they're going to do in the second round of the playoffs, it must be brutal. Tony D, I would call you a casual Yankee fan. I mean, you're a Yankee fan, but you're not a, I watch way more Met games than you watch Yankee games.
Yeah.
As a casual Yankee fan, do you even care when people are saying right now they're 4.5? I mean, is this something you're like,
no,
maybe the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs?
No, I'm not.
And I would say 90% of people are like,
I'm
that.
I'm not worried about it one bit. Not one bit.
It's just that 10% is just so.
They're the ones, ones that know that WFAN phone number, boy, and they'll be in there. Benny in the Bronx. Benny. Hey, you've been on hold since midnight. What's up? Benny, and then they say one word. We got a hard break. We're going to get right back to you, Benny.
Season's over.
You know, those crazies out there.
What
do
you think about trading Tex for Pujols straight up?
Tex, Pujols, Maybe get them to throw in that Trout kid. If
the
he's
Trout
a
kid, you know.
He's a Jersey guy. He'd love to play here. That's he would love to play here. Yeah, I mean, you got the panic calls that are coming in, and that's the 10%. But I think the vast majority of casual Yankee fans will.
What do you think? Jeter and Wright batting ninth. You know, switch it up.
I love that your Yankee fan accent's almost like a Chicago accent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very close. It's not very.
I'm a Chicago fan who transplanted for the Yankees, and now they're letting
me
down.
And you're one of the 10%ers. Yeah. We should get 10%er T-shirts made up.
Yeah.
Like the 1%ers and, you know, like the bike gangs, the 1%ers. We can get 10%ers, and they'll have.
Just yelling with saliva everywhere.
Just yelling, I've been on hold for 44 hours. yeah, so, look, the Yankees, I'm not extremely worried about them. Pettit setback. He says it's still on schedule. He had just tried to push his ankle too hard. How important is it that they get Pettit back and be their number two in the playoffs?
I've been going back and forth because I think it, more than his actual pitching, it's just the fact that he's back.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's the same with A-Rod, too. The fact that they're not really missing him that much from the lineup, but the fact that he's – and they mentioned this during the broadcast. They're like, maybe it's just a psychological thing. Just seeing A-Rod in the game, you know, that you're at full force and that you're 100%. It could be as simple as that.
Having played baseball, I think there's something to that. And it is because he's out of the lineup, the whole dynamic of the lineup changes. And it does matter. The order doesn't matter necessarily. I understand that, like, who hits where, but it is, I think, important. One of the critiques I have of Terry Collins is that he never has the same lineup.
Oh, yeah.
I think there is important of where who's hitting here, who's hitting in front of you, who's hitting behind you. There is a continuity to a lineup that it is, and I know they say, well, it only matters the first time to the lineup, but it doesn't. Because it's just that's just the lineup. You always are think. You're always in your mind. You're sitting on the bench. And you're like, okay, there's seven guys ahead of me. And you know the routine and like, okay, this guy does it. You know, you just get into that routine. It's one of my biggest critiques of Terry Collins, and he even admitted today. And just to transition to the Yankees, Mets, because we've talked about the Yankees far too long. Something that I said about, I think I just brought up a couple weeks ago. The reason they don't do well against left-handed pitching is because. Instead of letting some of their lefties learn to hit left-handed pitching,
yep.
They just pull everybody and
right.
Put a bunch of backups in there because they hit right-handed.
Sorry, but you're not – like to your point, say that by some miracle that they make the playoffs, you're really going to tell me that you're going to have Turner at second batting against someone like – batting against, you know, someone like Kershaw?
Yeah,
are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're going to go with a lineup.
So, you know, and this is the hopeless optimist in me. Is that he's just building sample size, just running through trials until, you know, September comes along and he's like, I've got it! 1-9, fellas, bulletproof.
And that's it.
And
stick with the whole
thing. And then
thing.
We go undefeated.
I never thought of it, but you're probably right. He's so far ahead of us, intellectually,
mm-hmm.
that we couldn't even comprehend that.
Yep.
It's like when I watched Through the Wormhole, and they're talking about how time travel, you're an idiot if you don't think time travel happens. I'm like... I guess I'm an idiot.
Terry Collins has time travel, folks.
He has time travel. And he knows Justin Turner.
Like, believe me, October 1st, he'll be thanking me.
So, but he admitted today on the show, they're talking about the defense in the outfield. And he's like
Angels in the outfield.
Yeah, how terrible they've been. And he goes, well, one of the problems is we don't have the same three guys out there all the time because we have so many different lineup changes that they never get used to each other out there. And he goes,
like,
and maybe that's partly my fault because I changed the lineup.
That is 100%
your
fault,
Terry.
How
many combinations of three out? There's got to be. They must have, and I'm not joking, a dozen different outfield combinations. I would think between when you have New and Ice and Baxter and Hairston and Balestrin and all these guys out there, easily a dozen different outfield combinations of who's where. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. How would you think that that's a good thing? But now you've broke it down. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Sample size.
Yep.
It's all proud stat, 11th grade.
He's an idiot savant.
He really is. And, man, he's great. He's going to lead us to another 78-win season.
I'm telling you.
He's the king of a 78-win season. Everybody said we were going to win 74. Well, I won 78.
Yeah.
Pay me my money. So, I don't know. That's all I got for the Mets for right now. I kind of hope that every week – we talk a little less about the Mets, a little less about the Mets, and then it just one day we just forget about them altogether. We never talk about it.
Just evaporating us in here.
Who was that team?
Was there another New York team?
Who's in their 9 major franchises? I don't know. Where are my Devils?
Yeah.
Where are my Devils? All right, Tony D, you got some say what's, my man?
I got a couple. right.
Of course, we're going to start off. We're going to jump right back to your boy Tebow and Boomer Esiason. Did you guys hear about this?
I sure did.
But he says, this is a quote. He says, I'm just telling you right now, I would cut Tebow, and I'll tell you why I would. It's not in any way, shape, or form, I think, benefiting this team. All you have to do is watch him throw the ball. Just watch him. You can say whatever you want about Tim Tebow. He played some of the worst football that any quarterback has ever played in the history of the game last year.
That is some lefty-on-lefty crime right there.
Now, you follow Manish Mehta. He works for the Post. He's the guy that always has the anonymous sources. So he reads this thing, and his comments out as it is that Mark Sanchez is already the best left-handed quarterback the Jets have ever had. He just decided to go after Boom. And then they had him on yesterday, man.
Yeah.
And Boomer was like, I thought he'd be like joking around. He was very calm, like, he did not want to talk to him. He was very angry at him. Boomer's got some...
Yeah, and then the guy said that he had Boomer in his fantasy league in 97 or something like that.
Yeah.
In 97, he was 35.
He was 35, and you're on what? On Prodigy? On your, I mean, 97.
Netscape.
I mean, that's a slow ass. You don't find out the results until Tuesday.
That's how you did. Like, there's, yeah, you just have some hardcore stats.
Mom, Boomer, Boom! Did Boomer score? Oh, man, it's meta. But, gotta give Boom's credit, man. Tebow stinks as a quarterback.
How about this? What do you guys think about the first female ref in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't think it's getting enough publicity.
I love it. I actually featured this on the website the other day, but she's a former judo champ.
Of course she is.
Really? Six-time national champion. So, you know, we were talking about...
She doesn't take no guff from anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going to try and truck her, she's going to get karate chop you in the balls probably. I don't know.
The bigger issue is, the replacement refs and how is it going to impact it. And all the players, including Boomer, are saying, oh, it's going to be terrible and you're going to... I don't understand how they're going to be that bad. Oh, everybody complains about the refs now. You watch college football. There's got to be some kind of in-between. I mean, college football, it seems to me, they miss just as many calls in college football as they do in the NFL.
Well,
do you think there's going to be this, like, huge thing? And I actually would think it would be easier to ref a more competitive and finely tuned sport like, the NFL than it would be high school.
I mean, I watched the Saints guard game, and it was nice to watch because you didn't have a flag every other down, and no one got seriously hurt, and I don't think there were any really flagrant penalties. You think they would be able to pick it up, but it didn't seem like there were replacements out there. The only thing that the commentators were saying was the lack of calls.
Yeah,
like who's really complaining about lack of calls?
Exactly. The idea that it leads to scoring. And that's what the NFL wants. To me, it's not exciting when you see a flag that passed interference on the 2-yard line and a guy punched it in. That's not like exciting scoring, watching a guy dive in from the 2-yard line. You know what I'm saying? Like, the score itself doesn't make it an exciting game because it's 35-31 when it just was penalties up and down the field.
But I am dying to hear the wireless mic all mic'd up. When she's reffing?
Oh, I hope she's got a mouth like a trucker.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I hope the first word out of her mouth is C-bomb. That's just lie.
What, do you think I'm a C-bomb?
This guy said, see you next Tuesday.
You said to S my D, Jackie. All right.
Oh, my God.
Hey, why don't you come around to the side of the mic? I'm going to freshen up.
I'm going to throw a little Buffalo Bills in here. What do you guys think? This is Fred Jackson. On Buffalo being a sleeper. So we don't mind being a sleeper. We don't mind being a team that nobody talks about just because, like I said, we haven't proven anything. Hopefully we let our play talk for us when we get out there. What do you guys think? You think Buffalo is just going to be the same Buffalo Bills as...
So you're saying it's a sleeper terrorist cell and we need to nuke them ASAP.
What do you guys think? We get the same old Buffalo Bills we've been seeing for the past 5 years?
Honestly, and I said this in my predictions for the over-under on the wins. Like, they'll get off to a pretty strong start. If not a strong start, they will go on a good run.
Think so?
I definitely think so. And, I think Stevie Johnson will definitely rip off a couple of career games. If Fred Jackson can stay healthy... I think if they can stay healthy, they can definitely make a run. But I just don't – I mean, they're going to be on the outside looking in. I just don't see them, making a wild card.
I don't see them – I mean,
I don't see them making the wild card either, but I also wouldn't be overly surprised. They're not one of those teams that I think is a terrible team.
They're going to be heartbreakers. They're going to ruin.
Oh, they're going to be a team. Exactly. You know, and they're going to ruin a lot of knockout pools because people are going to say, okay, I got so-and-so because they're going to beat good teams. They're going to beat New England this year or whatever, you know, but they probably will still finish around 8-8. I don't think they're a bad team by any stretch. And I think that, you know, the Fitzpatrick injury, and he didn't mention it early on, you know, he played through that injury the whole year. Yeah. You could see, like, once you know now that he had that injury, okay, well, that's when his play went, you know, downhill right away. It's, like, obvious. And you could say what you want, but it's the truth. And then they would be doing tough. If you're hurt, it's impossible to play. You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't surprise me if they had more wins than the Jets. I don't think they have much less talent than the Jets. So, I mean, it comes down to coaching, I guess.
Okay. That's what I like to hear.
You're
I mean...
So, how about this?
Yeah,
so Warren Sapp. You know, he's. I think he filed bankruptcy protection the other day.
No, he did not.
I'm pretty sure he did. And he actually had to give up his entire Air Jordan collection.
Oh my God!
240 pairs of Air Jordans. Size. They're all size 15.
I would hope so. I mean, is he like decide one day I'm gonna go tight, one day I'm gonna go loose?
Now,
they range from 12 and a half to 42.
Sometimes they like the pinch.
They're saying
sometimes they like the swim.
Sometimes they like Ronald McDonald.
They're saying that this collection can go for about $6,000.
So
he's
not allowed.
No, wait, sixth grade doing this thing. He's collected his whole life. He's got 150 pairs.
That's like 3 days for him.
Yeah. I mean that's a terrible job for him.
Unbelievable.
That's $40 a pair. He's way spent, right? Am I doing the math right? 40 times 150, 6,000, right?
Well, has he worn them, or are they just preserving them?
They better be worn. If they're brand new...
240
pairs. 240
pairs
for $6,000?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yo, I honest to God, I hope Deion Sanders buys them all and just wears them every time to the NFL set.
It's just kind of sick.
Like, check out my new kicks, dude.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Warren, look familiar.
Or that lineman that he ended his career by cheap shotting him.
Oh.
He just buys all and be like, I know how to invest, Warren. I'm on a beach.
All right, speaking of, you know, your boy Plax over here, he owes $59,000 in back taxes.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
That's my boy Plax right there.
Coming from the guy who had a triple bacon hand.
Yep.
Hell yeah. Go big or go home. If you're going to owe taxes, you're not Nicholas Diamond Plax. He's like,
I figured.
Once it got past like $400, yeah, said, whatever, dude.
Hey, let it roll.
But I didn't have it in my glove compartment.
Yeah.
Now, he still doesn't have a job, right?
No.
Because now they're talking with his injuries to Curly and Santonio, whether the Jets would bring him back, and the Jets said, well, I have no interest still. I think he's done, though. He was a red zone target because he's a big guy. He clearly lost his step downfield. He no longer got separation. I mean, I don't think that was a Sanchez.
There's not one team that'll sign him to a league minimum just for
Terrell Owens got a job.
I know.
Terrell Owens signed. They can't sign Plax to something?
Are we talking about Vito?
We'll talk about him right now.
How about this? This is from the Red Sox. I want to respond to you know, people saying that Bobby Valentine should be fired. I've gotten questions about Bobby and about ownership from you, so I'll say the following on the record. To blame Bobby Valentine for the Red Sox being 500 at this point is simply wrong. A lot has been written about injuries to key players this season or this year. The impact of the Sox this year should not be discounted.
I don't think he's done a great job, but I agree with him to an extent that the injuries that they've had are really too big to overcome.
They had a lineup where half the field was wearing numbers in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right. It looked like it was a preseason football game.
Exactly. I mean, it was. You look at what they lost. Two-thirds of their outfield. They even lost Cody Ross at some point. Poppy's gone down. Pedroia's gone down. Euclid's got hurt. They've had injuries.
And the guys that have stepped in haven't been all that bad.
No.
But then they get hurt.
Well, right. And right, they get hurt.
Right.
Now you're down to, you know, Kalish gets hurt, and this guy gets hurt. And then, you know, they lose their closer, and they bring Esteves in, and then people say, well, Esteves has done all right. We've still blown 5, 6, 7 saves. And it also makes your entire bullpen, because when you have to move your eighth-inning guy into the ninth, they had that guy, Melanson, who they got from Houston, they thought was going to be great. He stunk. You know, he had to spend some time in the minor leagues. There is a lot to that, you know. What is he supposed to do about all those injuries? And the fact that Lester and Beckett just forgot how to pitch baseballs.
They forgot how to do it. They forgot from like mid-August of last year. Beckett today got 8 runs of support and couldn't hold the lead. He gave up 8 runs in 5 innings.
I don't understand Beckett, first of all. I don't know. People say
he doesn't want to
be there.
He hates baseball more than
that. But then he got kicked out for argument call last week. So it's like obviously he cares a little bit about what's going on.
I think you just want to get out of there.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a great point.
Yeah,
wow.
Want to get out of there.
Didn't even think about that.
What's the fastest way I can get out of here? Well, I could wait till something might make me look upset. The fans will have my back. But he got booed against second consecutive start at
Fenway. He's arguing like a routine 6-3.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Hey, Josh.
That was the first play of the game.
Close his glove down.
Your boy, Dwight Howard. Is going to skip his own youth basketball camp.
Yeah.
They got all these people signed up, all these kids coming there.
It's like 200 a pop or something like that.
And he's skipping it. And he's sending, I don't know.
Some dude who I don't even know. I think they just said he's on the Magic. He probably isn't
on
the Magic.
We find out. I mean.
It's some rookie, right?
He just.
Andrew Nicholson.
Oh, Andy Nicholson. Hey, Nick. Yeah. He'll drain it from anywhere.
Andrew Nicholson.
I mean, this guy is.
But no, ask Stephen A. Smith. He's still a good guy. He's a really good guy. Anybody that knows him, he's such a good guy. He's a horrible person.
This guy has
gotten coaches fired. He's gotten GMs fired. He's held the city hostage, Orlando, which is the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
He's ruined Disneyland somehow.
Disney World shut down because of this guy.
Disney World, all the little Muppets or whatever, they're just kind of moping around. And
Mickey and Mouse and flipping birds left and right.
Yeah, exactly. You know, go screw yourself, Orlando. And now he has a camp that he's just supposed to be doing something good.
Like, what does
he
have to do with this camp that
doing?
He can't
Well, he heard up. That there's now 240 pairs of size 15 shorts out there. He's like, I got to get some scratch together for this. I can squeeze into some 15s.
All right, ready? Last one here. You guys watching the Olympics?
Lolo? Yeah, let's talk about Lolo.
Her best event was supposed to be, I think it was yesterday, mm-hmm. The hurdles,
yep.
Which she placed fourth in.
Yeah.
Didn't medal.
That's the one she fell on 4 years ago.
And now she's pissed off now because the media, you know, is absolutely, I guess, crushing her. Because
They've been crushing her before that.
Yeah, but no one's actually physically crushed her.
No, but
maybe she was, you know, a little looser. She would have did a little better in the hurdles.
Too uptight. Too uptight.
But here's the thing.
You
got to
stretch out, am I right?
Yeah.
You run hurdles. You got to warm up.
Exactly.
You stretch out.
I mean, you gotta,
that includes everything. Everything.
You got to be able to jump over them.
I'm no hurdler, but I would think that there's ways.
It would sound like Velcro, which is over the hurdle.
Now, what pisses me off about this chick, like, that whole thing leading up to the Olympics that she's a virgin, like, who put that news out there? Her.
She did. On HBO.
So you put yourself out there, and now you're pissed off because you suck
exactly.
in the Olympics, and...
And it started with... So that whole thing started that. And then the media critique has been, like, this girl's clearly putting herself above her teammates, and it's just the whole thing. Instead of what she's going to do, it's been a marketing scheme for her.
Yeah.
It's resulted in all these endorsements, even though she's never won a gold, never medaled in the Olympics. And so her big thing after she loses yesterday, she's in tears, holding back tears, saying, I'm being unfairly, blah, blah, blah. And I've done some indoor thing. I've won this record holder here. Nobody cares about sprinting other than the Olympics.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about it. Some guy beat Usain Bolt last year, too. What's that guy's name? Exactly.
Neil Lynch.
Who's that guy, Neil Lynch? No, it's Alan Nickerson from the Masters.
Whatever that guy's name was.
Hey, did you see Usain Bolt?
And because all that matters is that Usain Bolt.
Can you back
up?
Lauren Sapphire Jordan?
I'm sick of Lolo Jones. I was sick of her before.
And
teammate. Oh, the hater.
Whoa.
This girl wins the gold. She's like, and everybody's talking about the girl who came in fourth place.
Unbelievable.
Horrible.
That's all I got.
Maybe if Tebow gets laid.
We were. That was a fired up say what? My God, sweating.
You got to hook her up with that swimmer because they both suck. What's the swimmer's name? Loesch or whatever?
Oh, the guy with the grill?
Yeah, he stunk the whole place up, too.
Lochte.
Lochte.
Whatever that Loesch.
I think Loesch. Loesch.
Loesch.
That's how we pronounce it up in New England.
Yeah, Lochte.
I like it. So let's get into our top 10 here. Now, our top 10, we were talking about Hall of Famers and should we do... top 10 guys in the league that are surefire Hall of Famers, so it kind of becomes boring because we're going to say, Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's the same list.
Same with Mark Sanchez or whatever. we decided to do what we did with the major...
You're going to be on suicide watch, my man. Jesus. I'm not watching a single game with you this year.
You're coming out first. No. All right, so we got the top 10 NFL players, best NFL players that are going to fall short of the Hall of Fame. There's going to be some good guys on the list. You want to go first or me to go first? What do you think?
You want to flip a coin?
Flip a coin.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
Tails, my man.
Never fails. Never fails, my dude. All right, so number 10, I went with Dallas Clark. Clearly not going to get in the Hall of Fame because he's going to be always compared to, Gates, Witten, Gonzalez, and he's a cut below them, and there's going to be the critique that he played under Peyton Manning. So I do think this year in Tampa Bay might be big for him if he could do something there. But this is a tight end that had 100 catches 1 year. You know, he's been a Pro Bowler. It's almost like when you play any kind of receiver for Peyton Manning, it's almost like you're a hitter in Colorado.
Yeah.
And, like, your stats are skewed because, Garcon had a lot of catches, too. But you watch him, and the guy had ridiculously good hands. He wasn't a physically big tight end like some of the other guys I just named. But, I think he's going to be a guy that I'm always remember as one of the better tight ends. I don't think there's any chance he makes Hall of Fame, though. He's only got the one Pro Bowl, but I think that it has to do with he's playing in an era of just fantastic tight ends.
Yeah, you hit it right, the nail on the head.
So that's my number 10. Number 9, I had Rondé Barber. Tiki was the famous twin more so. Rondé Barber's a guy, he's led the league in interceptions before. He's still playing, he's 36, he's always been good, and it's like, there's a time when you thought when his brother retired he was kind of on the downside, and then the last couple of years he actually played pretty well. 2 years ago when the Bucs had that resurgence out of nowhere, he was kind of leader on that defense at the age of 34, 35. Another guy who's definitely not going to make the Hall of Fame, but just anybody would have loved to have him roaming around safety for your team. So that's my number 9. My number 8, and this is kind of going to be a stretch, but I'm going to have to explain. I got Devin Hester. And my only thing is this.
He was in consideration.
Only because, and all he does really well is return kicks.
You take away his record, and it's like, who is he?
Right. But I think whenever you're the best at any position, it's like the DH, how there's no DH in Edgar Martinez is not in the Hall of Fame because he plays DH. DH is an important position, and he did it better than anybody over a long period of time. Kick returner is super important, and punt returner, super important positions on the field. I know they don't get a lot of touches, and there'll be games when nothing happens, but it could change the course of a season, and he's done it better than anybody. So how would you have the best at his position? How do you not have him in the Hall of Fame?
Well, and that's the what makes Brian Mitchell so phenomenal. The guy who has the all-time kick and punt return yards, he holds the record.
Yeah.
It's like, because you would think after a while, people would just kick away from him.
Yeah.
But somehow this guy manages to get his hands on the ball and make positive
and
yards out of it.
And it's almost like...
And Devin Hester is not even close to Brian Mitchell. And
To yards-wise. Yeah.
And so you think about it, it's like, well
he kind of stopped returning kicks, so he just returns punts. It's like, you have that weapon. I think that's surprising. But I don't follow the Bears so strictly. I know they tried to move him. He's playing some offense and all. He hasn't really fanned out as a wide receiver. But why would he not be on the field in every spot?
Because if he has a chance to make the Hall of Fame, unless he just discovers how to run routes,
yeah,
he just wakes up and he's like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow. This is
how you run it.
He's watching Chad Ocho do it on Hard Knocks right now.
Yeah, I think he might have missed his chance by not returning kicks full time.
The way. I agree with you there. Number 7, I got Ricky Williams. Still playing, played for the Ravens last year. I don't think he retired, so I think he Wikipedia has him listed as active. I don't know if he's back on the Ravens or not, to be honest with you. But, I mean, he's a guy, all the hype coming out of college, didn't live up to it in New Orleans. He had his problems with his drugs and all, but he led the league in rushing for when he was with Miami. Still is a productive back at the age of however old he is. And he's always going to be thought of as like a waste of talent, and he probably is to an extent, but still one of the better backs in the last decade and do it consistently. When you look at the guys that are always at the top of the leaderboard for rushing yards, it's always a different cast of characters. You had Chris Johnson run for 2,000 yards, and he had a down year. You had Adrian Peterson, he was going to be the next, best running back ever, and he had down, he's hurt, and he's going to be, miss some of this year and this and that. Ricky Williams, for his ups and downs, when he's been healthy, he's been playing, he's put up numbers.
10,000 yards.
He's got 10,000
career. Yards. I mean, that is, to me, it screams, that's like the Hall of Fame benchmark is 10,000 yards.
But he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame,
no.
I don't think. I don't think anybody's going to stick their neck out for Ricky Williams.
Maybe if you got some ganja on you.
Yeah. You know, if he got you some more, he'll get the whole committee, like everybody.
You know, I know he quit for a little bit.
Hear me out, man.
Don't we all quit?
Can I say one thing? Can I just say one thing right now? All right, number six, almost like Devin Hester. This guy, you might be able to convince me that he is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri. Adam Vinatieri has made more clutch kicks than anybody.
Mm.
Been the best kicker in the league for my lifetime that I could ever remember. He's done it for two different franchises. You know, the guy that, like, you know, like, oh, he'll make this kick. It's not even a question. He'll make that kick. And then, again, we've talked, well, there's always, like, somebody that we thought was going to be, oh, David Akers, he's that good, and this guy's that good, and Neil Rackers is so good, and they come and go. Robbie Gould is so good, and now this guy Prater, and this and that. The whole time, Vinatieri's just been there making every kick that's asked of him. So
what is it about him that you don't think? I mean, the guy won like two Super Bowls.
But kickers don't get in. Don't get in, and if they do get in, it's because they're Morton Anderson and they play till they're 50 and they got more points than anybody or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He's not gonna have records. I don't think he's gonna have records. Maybe he will, and I hope he does.
Yeah, I just think, you know,
he's so good at his position.
Because you have someone like Jason Hansen too, who's, you know, that's all he does is kick field goals because the Lions couldn't score. And he's one of the all-time leading point scorers, and it's like,
but
are we just going to ignore that? You know, he still had to make the field goals.
Yeah, right.
That's impressive to me.
I agree with you. And they could always and the thing with kickers is, you could always just find another kicker out there that look. Oh, there's a million guys out there that kick a 6-yard field goal on a practice field. You can go out there and find guys all throughout the country, and right now they can't do it. To be able to do that consistently. You know, it's impressive. So maybe you might be able to convince him that he'd get in. I just have a feeling he's not going to get in. It's going to be a sham because he's the best kicker of our generation, I think. Number five, my other running back on the list, I got Thomas Jones. Another 10,000-yard guy. He's led the AFC in rushing. He's led the NFC in rushing. You know, he's part of that Jets offense that was really good. I got to watch him. You know, powerful runner, but also had, you know, some breakaway speed. I don't think he's got a chance to get in the Hall of Fame because he's always going to get – you know, running backs, you got to have some sort of really great number. I think he's been
another 10,000-yard guy.
He's another 10,000-yard guy. I think he's made the Pro Bowl several times, four or five times. I don't have him in front of me, but he's made the Pro Bowl several times. He's another guy that's not on a roster right now.
One-time Pro Bowler.
He's been on a Pro Bowl one time. I feel like he should have been. When I had him on Madden.
When you had him in Tecmo Pro Bowl.
He was very good.
Like that.
But the guy, like you said, he's got 10,000 yards. There's no way he's going to make the Hall of Fame. But just a fantastic run. I mean, how many thousand-yard seasons does he have?
Yeah, and...
1,000-yard season.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 5 or 6.
He's got 1,700-yard seasons.
Right.
1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He's not on your list, I assume, but I like Thomas Jones.
I honestly thought that he, like, retired or got cut.
Well, he was on the Chiefs last year.
No, I know, but I didn't mean this upcoming season.
He's still active. He's still looking for a team because they were talking about guys. The article I read to see if he had officially retired. He is not officially retired.
Yeah.
He's working out for some teams, trying to catch on somewhere.
Him and Tiki Barber hanging out.
Him and Tiki. Like, oh, look it, man. I can still run it.
Remember 2005?
I was twin brother, too. Number four. Hey, you love that. Number four, James Harrison.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a Hall of Famer. But he is one of the more feared guys. He's one of those linebacker guys.
See, I was like, wow, his numbers are not where I thought they would be.
You think of him.
And you think of him, you just think he's just a brutal
marauder.
Yeah. And he just doesn't have the numbers.
No.
But, you know, I think he's just going to go up the can and be like, and just give a mean mug. And
he's
going to
just,
he's going to
drag Goodell up there by his ear. Remember, you find me all those times and get me in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Give me an Hall of Fame and give me one of those size 15 sneakers.
Wow, yeah, that's true.
So he's not going to make it, but he's been, you know, in your mind, he's one of the better guys ever. Number three.
If there's a headhunting Hall of Fame, I mean, first down.
Yeah, well, yeah, if there's an awful person Hall of Fame, he's there. Number three, I got another linebacker on my list, London Fletcher.
Oh, my God. He's so good.
London Fletcher. God, I'm so good at these lists. I'm looking at it now. And it's just,
never missed a game.
You guys never missed a game. I knew the Bill was going to get all fired up about London Fletcher.
He did not miss a game.
I thought Tony wasn't even listening. Tony called in from the bleachers. London Fletcher. Shush. Let me tell you, London Fletcher, you know that he led the league in tackles last year at the age of 37?
guy like every year for the past like 2 decades.
But do you think he's gonna be a Hall of Famer? Like
I thought he would. Based on
maybe I just feel like he just never really. And no offense to Tony, he's never played on a very good team. So they're like, well, you compile tackles because the freaking defense is always on the field.
Rams and Redskins.
Yeah, no, he didn't want a Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, but
made that game saving. That
yeah, exactly, against Tennessee. Yeah.
Do they have, like, a height requirement at the Hall of Fame? Or?
In London, Fletcher?
He doesn't sound like a bad man.
I know. He's the guy, man, he's high on my list. He might get in, but what I'm saying is when you're only letting 5 guys in at a time.
Yeah.
It's gonna be—he's gonna be one of those guys that gets lost in the mix. I really feel like that. Even though he's one of the greatest linebackers of this generation, I feel like he's never talked about. He led the league in tackles last year. How many times do you hear anybody any story open with how great London Fletcher is? How come HBO doesn't have some show about how great London Fletcher is? We got to hear about James Harrison all the time. Number two, Donald Driver, all-time leading reception receiver for the Packers, a storied franchise. He's another guy, though, that's going to get – I mean, when you talk about Chris Carter not getting into the Hall of Fame, he's going to be going in with the same time as, like, the T.O.'s, Randy Mosses, these guys, and they're going to have hard times getting in because of different issues. And there's going to be people that are going to say, well, I can't put Donald Driver in ahead of Terrell Owens because I don't think as good as Donald Driver was, nobody would – if there was an open draft and you had all these guys, you would take Terrell Owens in his prime over Donald Driver.
Yeah.
That being said, Donald Driver was fantastic. He was one of the best wide receivers of this generation for sure. He just didn't do it the way that the other guys did it. He just consistently got his work in and caught balls and was explosive. And
yeah, and it's also part of the offense that he was in. I mean, he was never really the feature wide receiver.
No, he always had
always had like a Jordy Nelson and the other guys supporting him. So and that's Green Bay's offense. They like to spread it around, and unfortunately, that might hurt Donald's chances.
Now the guy got number one. You're going to dislike him for a couple of reasons. One, because he's not technically retired, but he's still looking for a job. He was actually training with T.O., so we're like training alongside T.O. This is my man Donovan McNabb. Clearly not going to make the Hall of Fame. I hated him. Thought he was a terrible.
Is this your number one?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Hey, number one?
Crossed out
when
I was
going. Boom!
Should have called heads.
Donovan, all he did was just he's got like one of the lowest interception ratios ever. He kept going to the AFC Championship game. Got to a Super Bowl. Consistently got them in. He was booed from the day he got into the organization and booed on the way out. Like nobody's been better and been hated more than Donovan McNabb in the history of sports.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got drafted. Thanks for they booed you. They hate you. Oh, I just keep winning division titles and getting into the playoffs. And it'll just boo you on your way out, too. And now people hate him. He did the Campbell's soup commercials. People don't like him for that, either. I can't catch a break. Who do you got on your list?
I had to make some last-minute changes. I don't know if you saw my audible.
My God. He's got 55 names.
Yeah, 55. I had to narrow it down to 10. No problem.
With all of the Giants roster this year.
Yeah.
You got Blackburn. Look, he's a great talent. He fought his way back. He was going to be a teacher.
Number 10, this is really not a surprise, but if you looked at the beginning of his career, you would have thought, no, absolute first ballot, and that's a former Giants tight end, Jeremy Shockey.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy who, rookie of the year, 2002, it looked like he could not
coming
be stopped.
Coming out of the U, he was going to be.
And he said, before he was drafted, hey, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be back at the U scamming on broads.
He said that?
Because he knew it only took about 8 years for him to just crank out Hall of Fame numbers. And so that's why I fell in love with him.
How could you not? And he's the guy we're talking about. Giants fans still love him.
I still.
You will be one of those guys that signs a one-day contract with the Giants to retire as a Giant. Okay. No, remember you almost ruined the franchise? The Giants fans love him.
I just can't get enough of him. And, the sad thing is he's 31.
He's younger than us?
He's going to turn 32 in August. August 21st. That's creepy how I know his birthday.
You acted like you didn't know it.
Yeah,
and you know it so well.
I know it really well.
You've got a reminder in your phone.
Yeah.
You get up and have like a...
Make sure to send Jeremy a Facebook message.
Jeremy, what's up, bro? Love to have you back.
Jay Shaw, kegger, my place.
Jay Shaw. Scamming on some bras.
Scamming bras.
Picking you up, bro.
Number 9, I have Frank Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore is still at he's getting up there in age.
I like
think
that
he's 27, 28, but he's been very injury prone of late.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has something like 800 career yards rushing, and so
probably 1,000
and
more than 800. He probably has more than 800.
I mean,
8,000.
7,000. 7,000 to 8,000 in that range. which do you see him getting another 3 years of 1,000 yards?
I don't know.
Considering they brought in Jacobs and they have this other, I think it's a second-year guy, third-year guy.
Yeah, look, I think that they're going to be a run-first team. I think that actually maybe Jacobs being there helps prolong his career. He might get less yards per year, but it might prolong his career a little bit. You know, I could see him getting 1,200 yards this year. I could see him maybe getting to 10,000.
But, I mean,
they need to win a Super Bowl, and he needs to do well. And I don't think he's going to make it, but he's definitely a great back, and he's been a guy who can carry a team. You look at what he did last year. I mean, you know.
Number eight, I have Matthew Hasselbeck. As a guy, you know, took the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. They lost. A lot of people said they should have won.
We're going to take the ball and we're going to win.
I mean, that's Hall of Fame. That's Hall of Fame talk
right
there.
The guy could talk it. You know, he's the guy last year when we had our huge everybody hates Mark Sanchez. I said, I think Mark Sanchez, his ceiling, he could be Matt Hasselbeck, which is fine. Matt Hasselbeck could have won a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
You're okay with Mark Sanchez being Matt Hasselbeck?
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't I be?
I think you're getting gypped, dude.
What do you want him to be? Why do I want him to be? I mean,
Elijah, man.
Oh, if he could only be. If he could only have the one-liner. If I could only have the comic relief of Eli Manning.
That's what's plaguing that team, lack of laughter.
That's what it is.
Number seven, we have Charlie Woodson.
You don't think he's a Hall of Famer?
Do not think he's a Hall of Famer.
Really?
Do not.
I guess maybe not. I mean, he might not be a sure. I mean,
you look at his interception totals, you think they would be a lot higher.
Yeah.
But
they never throw to him. That's a bullshit
stat.
I know.
But at the same time. Because
that's going to keep Revis out then. You know, not now. I mean, we
right,
his
yeah,
career
yeah.
Because.
Well, Revis is my number five. JK, y'all. Number six, I have Derek Mason. This is a guy who's been in the league forever, and I think that's why he's so high up on a lot of these lists. But, I mean, you know, what has he done for me at all, ever?
He was the first guy I wrote down when you suggested this.
Yeah.
And I would say I would never put him on any top
10. Never.
Because of what he did for my New York football jet last year. Screw Derek Mason. Yeah. Erica, who's your favorite wide receiver on the Dolphins? And as my wife just walking through the studio.
She actually sign language Chad Johnson.
Yeah, she actually said, you're sleeping on the couch. All right, so who else you got after my man?
So after Derek Mason, I have number five, I have Willis McGahee.
Good one.
Here's a guy that, who knows, you know, if he didn't have that horrific knee injury.
One of the grosser things that, like, our generation's Joe Theismann injury.
I was at PJ's.
I was at Rinku Gaudioli's house. Were you there?
I was at PJ's, and I was wearing my new leather jacket.
Yep.
And I was thinking, man, life is good. And then I saw that, and I threw away my leather jacket. I never watched another U game.
The library.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn a lot about the Giants.
Number four, I have Mark Brunell, 41 years old.
We all
know why he's playing. He's got severe financial problems. And, you know, it stinks, but he had a lot of great years with the Jaguars. He had a couple of years with the Redskins. Quality backup, and you know, in the league for a while, it has
decent numbers.
I mean, you compare him to previous Hall of Famers, and he's right on the brink.
Yeah.
Very
mobile when he was young. He was a very mobile quarterback. I mean, a lesser Steve Young type.
Yeah.
Like, could definitely get outside the pocket and run the ball. Was a bigger guy. You know.
He's got to worry about his daughter getting banged by everyone. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
So
wouldn't let her daughter see. He should just let her date Sanchez.
Yeah.
Hopefully, get that meal ticket for the next 18 years, and then.
Maybe, you know, Tebow lets the juice loose. And
he's got it built up, my man.
Fits that thrown on. Number three, I have Donald Driver.
Okay.
Same reasons as you. Number two, I have Ricky Williams.
Yeah. No, nice.
And number one, I have Chunky Soup.
It's the Donovan.
Donovan. I hope you never make it, Donovan. No disrespect. No
offense.
He'll
get booed going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I hope so.
He'll get booed the moment his name is called. He'll get booed. Whoever announces him will boo him. It'll just be, we can pull some guy off the streets of Philadelphia. He's got cheese all over his face.
They're going to graffiti boo on his yellow jacket.
I mean, that poor guy.
His bus is going to be all kinds of messed up.
It's going to be all, yeah.
Yeah, we let the blind kid take a crack at it.
Yeah, he goes, Donovan.
Boo. The blind kid's booing as he's molding the
You had Terrell Owens and you still couldn't win.
Yeah.
All right, well, I thought that was a cool list. So anything that we might have missed, obviously hit us up on Facebook. We got the 5 and 10. We gave ourselves 13 minutes for the 5 and 10. I think we got plenty of time. We wanted to stick with all Olympics if we could. And we'll start with the debate. We talked about the debate, the Eli Manning, sure, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer debate or whatever it was. Now the debate this week was, is Michael Phelps the greatest Olympian ever? to me, it's, again, it's like a pointless argument. How could you argue two completely different sports? Because he had the most medals? Well, what, you know, what if a guy's sport only has one medal?
Yeah.
Like, that's
archery,
a stupid thing?
It's not like freestyle archery.
Can't it just be good enough that he's the greatest swimmer of all time?
Yeah.
Isn't that just good enough? Now he has to be the greatest Olympian of all time? I mean, Muhammad Ali was in the Olympics. Or, you know, you could talk about Michael Jordan was an Olympian. Is Michael Phelps better than Michael Jordan? Is he a better athlete than Michael Jordan?
Yeah, and that was the talk, at least for Fox Sports this week, was, you know, who you got, Bolt versus Phelps. And it's like Bolt does one thing.
Yeah.
And Phelps does all these other things, so it's, you know, it's tough.
I think it's a silly argument, to be honest with you. I thought it was funny, too, though, that, like, you know, he didn't do well.
You don't think that's more, I guess it's, eh.
Well, no,
it's kind of more impressive that he's able to do it in so many different events. And
I agree in that I agree to an extent, but I'll also say, well, what about the decathlete that does all those things and only wins one medal for it?
Yeah.
Bruce Jenner won the decathlon, and you know, back then, the decathlon was like the coolest event of them all because I could do it all these things.
Yeah.
And you get one medal for that, and that's all different events. You know what I mean? What about those guys in the Winter Olympics that ski and then shoot a gun? Like, those are two different skill sets.
I don't know.
What if you were a really good cross-country skier, but you couldn't really shoot?
Yeah.
But, or you could shoot really well, but you're like Happy Gilmore out there.
I don't know if I'd want to be friends with that guy. Yeah. It just seems like he could take matters into his own hands real quick.
He's a guy you don't want to go up to Vermont with this winter.
Come out to my cabin. No, yeah. I'm all right.
No, I'm good.
I mean, I have my Kevlar, but I don't know.
So I just think I think it's good enough to say he's the greatest swimmer. I don't think that the medal count really puts him over the edge, because you could look at other guys in other sports that only won golds for their whole life. Like, you know what I'm saying? So they did whatever they did better than anybody. I don't know. The guy swims really good. Okay, why can't we just leave it at that? Nobody cares about swimming other than when it's the Olympics. He should be very happy that we think of him as the best swimmer.
And
ever.
He's dating an absolute smoke show.
Who? So. I heard he's dating a model. I saw
my mom texted me.
You your mom?
My mom texted me. No, he's not dating my mom.
Oh.
Although my mom is available and looking if anyone's interested.
Jackpot.
Pick me up. My mom texted me and was like, oh my god, you know, Michael Phelps is dating Bar Raffaelli.
And he's dating that girl?
And I said, no, mom.
Oh, because I was like, man, I know
it's
her.
A chick that looks like Bar Raffaelli. But I was like, no, mom, Bar is actually dating Shaun White.
Oh, yeah, Shaun White, who's a goofy looking dude.
Yeah.
Because he's really good at snowboarding. Oh, right? That, of course, all chicks dig the snowboarders. Oh, all right, well, yeah, it is unbelievable. But got good for
Michael. Yeah, so mom, get your facts straight.
Get your models straight. Miss Lynch.
She also tried to hook me up with, like, Team USA beach volleyball. And I'm like, I don't know if I have a shot, Mom. She's like, what about the tall one?
What about that tall one?
And I'm like, Mom, they're both married. I'm not a home wrecker.
One of them is married to the next Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
Matt Traynor. I don't know. I mean, I did play some seriously competitive Division III baseball, but I don't think I can mess with Matt Traynor. All right, number two, we got to get into Tony D, and I'm going to move the mic over so, Tony, you can get into some women's soccer. Now, Tony D got into it with Mad Dog Russo himself on Twitter the other day.
Because
Mad Dog hates himself some hopes. So when I see it, I don't even think he follows him because he hates him that much.
No, I don't.
I forward it to Tony. And he was like, Hope Solo, shut up. So I forward it to him. And he just got after him. But so Hope Solo, well, let's just get into the big game against Canada, really. I mean, we only got 2 minutes on it. But so, you know, it was one of those crazy games. Every time Canada gets up, you know, the USA has an answer. There's the controversial goal late, where they had in the 80th minute, you know, that crazy penalty where the chick was holding the ball too long. Now, she admitted after the game that the ref had warned her, you can't stall the game. I'm going to call you on it. So she only has herself to blame. But I also don't think, like, I don't see why it's a bad thing just to admit, yeah, America, we caught a break there. Because even everybody said that it's a penalty that's never called. I don't pretend to foul soccer, but it was definitely a break that we got that call. We capitalized on the break by scoring, you know what I'm saying? Just like, I don't know why Giants fans were offended when I say the Giants caught a break in the San Francisco game. They still had to capitalize on it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, you could point to the Mets in the 86 caught a big break.
Yeah.
Not even the Buccaneers saying the wild pitch before. Like, they caught a big break. That doesn't mean that you're like, you don't deserve it.
Right.
The other team screwed up. You caught a break and you capitalized on it. But so I don't know if that's like un-American to say, like, yeah, we caught a break.
we capitalize on it, but yeah. Everybody's like still like, no, that's, of course they got to call that penalty. And like Alexi Lalas is like, I haven't seen that penalty called in 4 years or whatever. We got to call the 80th minute of the Olympics. Yeah. That's a break, dude. I don't care why you can't just admit it. Tone, what do you think? I know you're into the women's soccer.
Yeah, I mean, we call it a break, but we capitalize on it and we, you know.
When I'm playing FIFA, I hold that
the
ball,
thing is
and
that
they never call it on
me. The thing is, like, she lays down, and she's laying, like, all the way out with her legs behind her, and she's grabbing the ball, and she's, like, staring around, like, get the hell up and get rid of the
Canada's
ball.
Canada's a slower pace. Yeah. You hear many Canada, they talk slow. They don't care about it.
It's just like, come on.
Hey.
There's no minimum speed limit up there. It's not that much.
And that other tool on the radio. Wait, you're telling me because you don't like our goalie that you're just going to root against our country just altogether? Are you serious?
He doesn't even use his name. And other tool on the radio.
I love it. What the hell?
He hates his social mad dog.
Go Canada. All right, you.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Well, that's what he does, though. He likes to stir it up. I mean, his ratings are slightly a tick ahead of ours right now. I mean, we're doing very well. But his daily listeners are tick above the Tri State Sports guys right now over on
so
the
we need to start bashing America.
Yeah, exactly. We can beat them. We can get past there. Let's go. Well, but women's soccer is exciting. I think the women's soccer as a sport, and O used to say that I was like anti women's sports, and I'm not. I think women's soccer is more entertaining than men's soccer.
Mm.
To me, and I have never played organized soccer.
Is
in my
there
life.
More?
I think women's tennis is more entertaining.
There's
than men's
more
tennis.
Flopping in men's soccer, isn't there?
Yeah, 100%. I think
women. You kind of expect women to flop, you know? Sexist alert. Whoa, timeout.
Wait. Close your ears, Mrs. Lynch. So, all right. Well, sticking with the Olympics. How about Carmelo Anthony? I mean, I know he didn't do much the other day, but he's the best basketball player ever.
Yeah.
And the only reason anyone ever called him selfish. It was because of Lin Sanity.
Yeah.
Lin Sanity, Jeremy Lin signed his contract. He hated the fact that he got offered any money. Carmelo Anthony thought he should make no money.
Yeah.
He should play for free. And he made some money. He left. And the only reason, the first time you ever heard Carmelo Anthony was selfish was when during the two-week Jeremy Lin Sanity era. Before that, he was Mr. Distributor. He was like Jay Kidd. I always thought of Carmelo Anthony he passed first guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what an idiot.
Well,
he got
he got what was coming to him, though.
What's that?
He got hit in the balls.
He did get one right in the guy. He got right in the guy in the picture.
Picture him like,
And then Kobe Bryant went over to the guy in Spanish, because he speaks Spanish, you know, because he lives in Europe. And he was like, hey, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
you know, like, you shouldn't punch this guy in the balls. And he was like, hey, Chris Paul did it something to me or whatever. Like, he didn't even apologize.
And then
Chris Paul did something to me, so I'm going to punch Carmelo Anthony in the balls. That's how they do it. And that's how they do it. I love it.
But then the guy on the French team today lined up and threw a haymaker in the guy's dong piece.
I saw that.
Yeah. And what sport? Basketball.
Yeah.
It's like a new thing now. Like it's like planking or T-bowing.
Always
like,
something new.
Yeah.
You know what? They're always evolving. Now we're old. We don't even know. When I play basketball, I still don't hit people in the balls. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
Like when my daughter's up there playing, she's like,
I just don't get it.
When I played, we didn't even hit people in the balls. I'm like, Dad, you don't get us. Whatever. Number four, Serena. We're going to get into tennis. We're going to do number four, we tennis. So Serena wins the gold, which is awesome. And she seems genuinely happy that she won. Like, you know, some of these people, especially tennis, they, like, mail it in. Like, Djokovic didn't look like he wanted to be there. Federer didn't even really look like he wanted to be there. And we'll get to the men's in a minute. But she seriously was like, this is the one thing I've never done. She did it. She seemed very excited. She decided to do a little crip walk.
Yeah.
That was her. That was just, I genuinely think, having watched it, I don't know. People are so offended by it and all that.
I don't know about you, but winning a gold at the Olympics is comparable to a successful drive-by. Like, wow, I got them all.
I got that guy. I got
that guy was tough. He was in the corner.
That guy wasn't even aiming. I got that. Well, I don't know. The thing is that dance, it's no longer like a tough thing.
Yeah.
You can go to any local pub in Norwalk, Connecticut, and there'll be five white chicks who grew up in Westport, Connecticut.
Giving the blood finger gesture.
Yeah, doing that same thing, dude. Yeah. You go anywhere and see people doing the Dougie
all the time. Any wedding, there's some hip little niece who does the Dougie, and you're like, whoa, it's so ghetto. Look out. Like, no longer does that mean anything.
I think it just
like
ended,
that's
right?
What it's not like, oh, that's a sign about gangs. No, you could see that anywhere.
Yeah.
It's become like a generic, like, really, no real gangster would ever do that because it's like so phony, fake. Like, it'd be something you'd see on the Fresh Prince of Bel Air or something. Like, whoa, look out.
Yeah.
This guy grew up in West Philadelphia.
He knows
that. So it's like, it's like Mickey Mouse at this point. I'm sure at one point it was like something tough,
but I think it's
a tennis player.
But I think the Crip Walk just got to Europe, so that's
it. So yeah, exactly. Like they're still in like season 3 of Lost over there.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my, what is this? There's a second half to the plane? No way. What is this Crip Walk? Like they're a little bit behind. They're not up to the American coast. So maybe I just didn't understand the whole outrage.
Bruce Willis is a ghost. No way.
The whole time he could never open that door. Why can't he do it? Locked. Damn. She's never listening to him. The wife. I should have seen that. Should have noticed. She never responds to him. So and then we have the opposite of this is the Andy Murray. Winning the local boy, and he's the guy that every year at Wimbledon you have to watch and kind of have to root for him because American men's tennis players stink anyway, so you might as well root somebody else. This guy's a local guy. They haven't won Wimbledon in 80 years or whatever. Part of me didn't want to root for him on this one because he cried so bad at the last one, which I'm like, dude, but I didn't know what the European thing was. They might not have got the memo that that's unacceptable too. So he wins. I thought that was pretty exciting that he won. He did very well. So that's a cool thing to see, like, the local guy do it. But, again, like, it didn't seem like, you know, the men didn't seem into it. None of them did. You know what I mean? When I watched Djokovic, we talked about him last year. It's like he never loses.
Yeah.
At anything.
Yeah.
And he's like, eh, whatever. It's just a gold medal. No big deal. What do you think about the W amputee? To me, that anyone on the face of the earth.
My mind, I don't care how many times I see that guy run, is blown.
Exactly.
I do not know how he's able to do that.
Exactly. The idea.
I think
and I like, people, even this, people that I know and I like think that they're relatively intelligent, well, it kind of still isn't fair. He's got those fake legs. Like, there's a lot of people.
Like,
that have
out,
those,
let me get a
they have the entire, like, it's going to be taken over one day. The entire Olympics is going to be amputees because they've developed this technology and they're going to just take over the world. He's the only one that's ever done it. If that much of an advantage, how come there's not one other guy that's that good at it?
How come we're not chainsawing legs right now?
Exactly. But, like, there'll be some soccer mom out there that's like, sweetie, look, it's for your best.
Yeah.
It's just like misery. She just puts the thing down there, just smashes it. Like, look at the guy from South Africa. You're going to thank me later.
I think it's CGI.
Yeah, I think the whole thing can't be
real.
He got crushed, didn't he?
He finished in dead last, yeah.
But he qualified for it?
Yeah, yeah.
The guy runs faster than you and me.
Yeah.
You don't think they just put him in there to put him in there?
No, he had to win the prelims.
I guess so.
Don't even buy into it,
you bastard.
And we didn't land on Mars. Well, that's a good way to end it. Totally, ever the skeptic doesn't believe the guy actually exists. You thought it was CGI. This guy didn't think he made it. Another great show. Check us out next week. Tri-State Sports guys, thanks for listening.
Donka.
Should I go take a piss?